Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're just going to really briefly, this is going to be short, conclude and just review these different hermeneutical principles. Don't turn me off right now. This actually helps. Guys, review is the key. You know, repetition is the key to memorizing stuff. And it's good to revisit this stuff from time to time today and also as you go forward and just continue to try and pound these concepts into your mind, not only to help you better study the Bible, but also so that you can share these principles with others on the fly when you are witnessing the people and also when you're discipling a younger Christian who needs help in some of these areas. So let's look at these principles really fast in review, just to make sure they're stuck in our heads. And just as an aside, remember at the beginning, we talked about some of the different schools of biblical hermeneutics. There's actually many of them. And the literal school is the school of interpretation that you and I hold to. It's the school of interpretation that says, hey, God actually meant something. When he wrote this, he actually said what he meant and meant what he said. He had an intended meaning in the text, okay? And we're going to read the text and look for that meaning. Look what the author intended to say. And oftentimes it is most of the time it is the clear and obvious and plain reading of the text. You just read it as it is, okay? And when there are allegorical allusions and things like Jesus saying, I am the door, or God saying that he protects us under his wing. We don't assume that Jesus is made out of wood and has hinges, and neither do we assume that God the Father is some kind of great cosmic chicken. Okay? We read the text and we use our brains. Okay, so the Bible says the sun is rising and setting. Does that really mean that the sun is rising up and setting down? No, it's an illusion. It's accommodation. It's accommodating language that helps us understand the scriptures. And okay, so the plain and obvious reading of the text. There is the liberal school of interpretation. There is the devotional school of interpretation, the type of school that you see from our emergent church friends who, check out my series on the emergent church. That is a confused mess. And by golly, friends, that is creeping into some of the more fundamental churches. These strange emergent ideas are starting to creep into our churches. Watch out. It is dangerous. It is downright heresy and dangerous, and it is getting into our churches. I've even seen certain elements that have attempted to try and creep into my church, and it's not going to happen. We have an awesome church. We have a great pastor, but there are elements that have tried and will probably continue to try to creep in. Many other churches, and I install access control systems and locksmithing and do cameras for many other churches in our community. And I see this stuff. I go in there, I look at their bookshelves in the pastor's office and their bookstore that they sell their books in, and I'm seeing this material. It is there, and it is happening. So watch out for that. But anyway, moving on. We got the literal interpretation principle, all right? We read the text. What does it plainly say? Okay, look at the literal, plain, obvious, interpretation of the scripture, and you choose to go with the interpretation of the text that is obviously plainly what the author is talking about. Another principle is the contextual principle. In other words, keep it in context. A text without context is a pretext for a proof text. Okay? When you're reading a scripture, you want to read a lot of times, put it this way, if you find a text that's a little bit elusive to you, read the chapter preceding it and read the chapter after it and read the entire chapter that you find that text in, you're going to get it, okay? You're going to figure it out. Read the context, everything there, all right? Another hermeneutical principle would be scripture interprets scripture. Okay, and that, and again, this is all simple stuff. When you have a particular text, a passage of scripture that is a little confusing, okay, that's all right. Go and find other scriptures that pertain to this scripture, and find, you will find that scripture interprets scripture. Go with a plain, obvious interpretation of the text and let that help you understand the scripture that's a little elusive. All right? And this is all simple stuff. In other words, you let the explicit, obvious scriptures interpret the implicit, not so obvious and a little bit hard to understand scriptures. Okay? Make sense? Another principle that we talked about was the progressive revelation principle. God didn't reveal all of his truths all at the same time. He slowly, through, well, a couple thousand years as the Bible was being written, God was revealing things about himself and things he wanted us to understand. And he did this in a progression type manner. So when you look at the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, they are somewhat subdued and not as obvious and not as understandable. And then as you move forward in time, different things are becoming more and more revealed. You're finding difficult concepts in the Old Testament becoming much easier to understand and revealed. So another principle we talked about. The one interpretation principle. This is pretty simple. And this is the principle that says that every text of the Bible only has one interpretation. It might have several different applications, but it only has one interpretation. And to say otherwise would be breaking this principle and trying to twist God's arm and make his Bible say something that it doesn't say. Another principle that we looked at was the harmony of scripture principle. And that is the idea that the Bible doesn't have any contradictions. The Bible is in full harmony with itself. So when you see scriptures like, for example, John chapter 10, verse 34, and Jesus answered them and said, "It is written, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Okay, so are we to conclude that there are more than one God? That we are all gods? Just like Satan said, ye shall be as gods? Or do we need to look at that and try to understand what Jesus is trying to say? Mormons say that there are many gods, millions, if infinite numbers of gods. But in Isaiah chapter 43:10, it says, and this is the Father speaking, he says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand." You'd actually think God was trying to get us to understand something here. "That I am. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." So now you need to look at this using the harmony of scripture principle and say, okay, well, what was Jesus saying when he said, "Ye are gods"? All right. And after looking at it a little bit closer, he's saying, "You are rulers in your society. To other people, you are as if you are a god." And more on that in some other teaching, but I'll probably talk about that a little bit in an up and coming Mormonism study that I'm working on right now. But anyway, the harmony of scripture. Scripture agrees with scripture. And when there is some kind of apparent disagreement or contradiction, that means we need to study a little bit harder and try to figure out what's going on. All right? Another principle, the genre principle. You got to understand that the Bible has different genres. You can't read the book of Ecclesiastes the same way you might read a historical account like the book of Acts or one of the historical books in the Bible like 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Esther, Nehemiah, any of those. Okay, those are different than reading Okay, for example, a historical book would be completely different than reading a prophetic book. And a prophetic book would be much different than reading one of the poetry genre type books like Psalms. All right, so there's different genres, and we need to be aware of them so that we can shift gears when we're reading the scriptures and take from that particular book of the Bible what God actually intends by keeping the genre in mind. Another principle we talked about was the grammatical principle. We talked about that yesterday. We need to take into account that there are meanings of words and the grammar and the syntax. As we're reading the Bible, it helps us understand what's being said. Is Jesus telling us today that thief and murderer on the cross next to him is going to see him in paradise? Or is Jesus saying he's going to see that sinner in paradise today, as in the day they were on the cross? They will both end up in paradise together. Is that what's going on? Okay, so again, grammar, syntax, meaning of words, they're very important when we're reading the Bible. And the last principle is the historical background principle. This one's obvious too. When you're reading the scripture, as much as we can, we try to learn the historical background. It helps shed light on what's going on. So guys, that's it. That's it in review. That is the 10 principles that are most commonly understood and broken when you're reading the Bible. And this will help you. Now, obviously, guys, this was a very brief introduction to biblical hermeneutics. There are entire courses of audio podcasts on the internet that you can listen to. I know one in particular I love listening to by Phil Fernandez of the Institute of Biblical Defense. Loved that one. I believe William Lane Craig has one too. He can be a little bit heady at times, but the guy's brilliant and he's got many things to consider. I've also, I believe, listened to one by Dr. Ronald Nash. Also, there are many good books out there to help you understand biblical hermeneutics, like, for example, Way the Master has one that's written in a way that's very easy to understand called Herman Who. What a cool title. But anyway, yeah, there's many good books out there too. Generally, I like to go for books that are simple first, and then when you really understand the subject, then you can go for the real difficult, hard to understand, but also much more thorough treatments of subjects. Okay, and that's my own particular advice. Go for the low-hanging fruit first to get a good foundation in the subject, and then when you're ready to go deep, go for the heavy stuff. Okay, so anyway, with that, come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and there, guys, you can leave comments and questions. I do love talking to you guys. Let me know what you want to hear about in the future. Also, there's the like buttons that you can find on my website that helps you share this content, the subject matter, out to your friends on Facebook and Twitter and all those different places. I love that because that allows me to reach new people and get the gospel to other people and also help Christians defend their faith. And that's what we need to be doing right now in these dark days. So anyway, you guys can catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter too. I love talking to you guys. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.